One of the major principles of the New Testament, if not the most major principle, is the one of sacrifice. The very fact that Jesus sacrificed himself, setting us a perfect example, giving himself for us, leaving us that perfect example, teaches us that when we would become like him and obey the gospel, we should become then by nature sacrificial. Therefore, what we do, if we call ourselves Christians, should be sacrificial. We should be servants. And if we're not, then there's something wrong. It's no wonder then that the Apostle Paul would say in Acts 20, verse 35, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Mike preached on Sunday, I believe, and he quoted from Galatians chapter 5 in the fruit of the Spirit. And he was talking about how the fruit of the Spirit's in doing those things, against such there is no law. Think about that. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Therefore, there is no law against giving, doing good, producing the fruit of the Spirit. It's a fact. It's a fact that the most happiest people on the face of the planet are servants, are people who are sacrificial. So then why shouldn't we as New Testament Christians be the most happiest people on the face of the planet? We should be. Now you have to ask yourself then, if you're a Christian and you're not giving, why not? We are left with no example in the New Testament of an excuse of not being able to give. I mean, the widow gave everything she had, two mites. And the Lord praised her highly. She gave all above. And that story likely shames every one of us when you think about the principle of sacrifice and giving then. So I thought of a few passages in Proverbs 16, and I'll let the lesson be yours. Listen to what the Proverbs writer says, and I think that this will help you become more blessed in your life as a giver than a receiver. Proverbs 16 verse 3 says, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." I don't know how many times I've heard people say, in making decisions in life, this decision didn't turn out so well, or, you know, there was no Lord's church. This one's the one that baffles me. We moved into a certain location, and the Lord's church is just not non-existent. I said, well, it's not because you are there now. You must become a missionary, I suppose. You must have thought, surely you thought that through before you made the move or the choice to move there. Well, we didn't think about whether the church was there. We just thought about how well the job paid. Brethren, I guarantee you, before I moved here, I knew what was going on with the Lord's church in San Angelo, Texas. And I was happy to move because of that. Okay, but look at what again the Proverbs writer says there. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. How many of us have committed our works to the Lord, no matter what we do? I'm not saying everything we do is worship, but when the Bible talks about master and servant relationships in the New Testament, and servants serving their masters as unto the Lord, everything we do then as a Christian becomes a measure of service to the Lord, how we behave ourselves before other people. Why? Because it is more blessed to give than to receive. I'm here to serve. You see, I'm here to fix broken things, and this week I've been fixing a lot of broken things. And I've been reminding myself of this principle. It's more blessed to give than to receive. But nonetheless, notice this then in Proverbs 16, verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. I love that passage because I find my neighbors to be at peace with me because I believe they know that I'm there to help. Everybody that lives around me has a key to my tractor, and it's become the community tractor. And when it breaks, I still fix it because they don't. But it's more blessed to give than to receive. And it's been broken twice. All right. Nonetheless, though, you can read through Proverbs 16. Look at verse 12. It is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. You back up to Proverbs 14, verse 34. We quoted this last week. Righteousness exalts the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The best leaders, the best kings, are those who serve the people. Think about it. It's more blessed to give than to receive. But you get a king or a tyrant, someone in there that's actually serving himself, his own belly, it just works in reverse. It's not right. Back to Proverbs 16, and I need to summarize. Look at verse 22. Maybe this will be a good passage to start to summarize. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. So who are you listening to? You know, tonight we were getting ready for services, and my son had a friend who we were inviting to come over, and he thinks what we do is boring, and we're known to be the family in the community that goes to church too much, and they're all yet supposedly Christians, but we go too much. I don't know. Understanding to me is pretty important, and it is a wellspring. My family, please read that. It is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it. Amen. And I don't bemoan the fact or feel sorry for myself that my neighbors are not there. I pity them, and I want them to know. And in time, my purpose for being a neighbor there is to be a better giver than a receiver, to try to help them understand that there is a wellspring of instruction that will save your soul. And that the Braswells hopefully are not playing Christianity. We're trying to be right with the Lord and serve. Blessed. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And that's why we're here. Again, the most happiest people on the face of the planet are those who give. How are you doing? As a child of God, remember, Jesus gave himself for you. He sacrificed himself for you. And he set us a perfect example to do likewise. Why? So that we would be more blessed as we are a giver. So how much do we have to give? If you are a Christian, how much do you have to give? Maybe you don't have silver and gold like Peter and John said in Acts chapter 3, but what they had was more valuable than that. They had the gospel. And there's nothing more valuable than that. And the most happiest people on the face of the planet realize they have the gospel. And we're here to help save people's souls. And so maybe we can learn from that. If you're not a child of God and you never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, there's one who laid down his life for you. Because you or I cannot save ourselves knowing we face a certain death. There's only one that can save us, and that's the one that overcame death. Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, the second person of the Godhead, who is now back in heaven, reigning and ruling. And by his word, his authority, he wants all men to be saved. They'll obey his message, the gospel, the good news. And so if you're here and you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you're ready to repent of your sins because you believe, you understand this message, and you're willing to confess him before men publicly and be immersed in water baptized, then you can do so this very evening. Become a child of God. And again, now live a blessed life by being a giver more so than a receiver. And that's the life that we'll live, and we'll live at peace with God. If you are a child of God and you know that you need the prayers of the congregation because you've not been doing so well in this category, perhaps you've fallen and you've brought reproach against the church, if we can help you in any way, won't you let us know then as together we stand and we sing, won't you come?